Rockstone from Fox Sports. You are listening to the Unused Substitute. Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night. It is 8 p.m., and this is the Unused Substitutes, your weekly power hour of green and gold gospel. Dan, I muted you again, and I can't seem to find a way to turn it off.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I kept trying to click something, and nothing was happening. What a week. It's been an interesting couple of days now, hasn't it?
It almost feels like as... Right, we'll get there, but as boring as Saturday was, I mean, we won, obviously, but it was like, ugh. Yesterday was probably the most exciting part of all of the news.
I was going to say, I wasn't at the game on Saturday, but it seemed like from the parts I watched of it and then what I watched last night, it was a pretty interesting, I think yesterday may have been more interesting. Before I forget to mention it for an entire show, I just want to go ahead and point out that we are coming to you as members of the Beautiful Game Network. Look them up on Twitter at the BGNFM or on the web, BGN.FM. Lots of cool other soccer podcasts, USL related. There's Pittsburgh, there's St. Louis, there's, I think Tulsa's in there now, possibly. Oh, hello, Ferret. It's our first sighting of the evening.
Yeah. I was laughing during the intro because she came running out from the bathroom, which has just been recently cleaned, with a McDonald's straw and plastic lid in her mouth, trying to hide it somewhere. I don't know where she got it from.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think at some point last week after the last show, I tweeted, you know, let's just win. Let's get a win on the field and get a win off the field. And usually I never get what I asked for when it comes to this team, it feels like, or at least not all of it. But that's exactly what we got, which means this is going to be a lot more fun of a show than it could have been.
Definitely.
Let's get started. Rowdies 1, Richmond 0. We got off the three-game winless streak. You were there. I was at a father-daughter dance, so I'll let you talk about the good, bad, ugly, what you saw.
Good. Whoops, I'm messing up over here. But good was definitely it was a little interesting lineup that I complained about for a while on Twitter, so of course we were going to win. But we controlled the game, obviously, if you've mentioned it on Twitter. And whatnot about how the heat map of Richmond was pretty much the halfway line back into their own third. So it was a lot of bunker ball, trying to spend most of the game breaking them down. And in Stu's post-game audio, he even said that it would take a moment of like individual brilliance to get the goal there. And what does Deshaun Brown do? He pulls a moment of brilliance out of his back pocket. Talking to him after the game was interesting because he said, like, I like to do bicycle kicks, and the opportunity was there and it happened. And I was like, okay, yeah, like that sums it up pretty much. But the team played well. Schaefer being on the left flank was interesting. And Chavez filled in quite well for him, for Schaefer in the midfield. It was hopefully Luke Bowden gets well soon, and well, he should be back. But It was good. We played our game. Richmond allowed us to play our game, and Deshaun Brown came through.
Yeah, going back and watching the replay, because there were plenty of it, it ended up as the SportsCenter number one moment of the night. Look, we're biased homers. I'm not going to lie about that. But did you see the number two highlight?
No, I didn't.
It was from a Liga MX game, a goalkeeper getting an assist on a stoppage time, I believe, winner. And go back and watch it. You almost got to give that number one, but I'll take us in number one. That was nice. But you can almost – it almost looks like when you're watching Deshaun as the ball's coming in, like he makes one decision about what he's going to do and then changes his mind and goes with the little side volley scissor there. Man, it was pretty.
It was great to watch in person. And I was actually down at that end, unlike the Joe Cole bicycle kick where it was all the way across the state. We were talking about it after. I think it was with Steven and I were talking about how all the best goals happen at the farthest end of the stadium.
I had the same thought when I watched the replay. All the good stuff happened.
Yeah. Like I think that's the one. If I had one issue with Allen Stadium, that would be it.
Not having all the fun goals right in front of us.
Just having everything. I get it. Like, I could buy midfield tickets, but I'm poor. Or I could buy, the other ones. But, when you want to be with the mob, you're missing all that. But I get it. That's where supporters groups usually are right behind the goal like that. But it just sucks. I hate it. I'm just complaining to complain.
Just trying to find something to complain about.
My bad.
The goal was beautiful. There's no denying that. Any bads from the game, just other than or does the B stand for boring this week?
I think the B, like I said it almost immediately after the game, that was the most uneventful and unexciting win. And I don't know if it's because even though we lost the last home game last week, and it was so entertaining and whatnot, and this one just kind of felt like a I don't know. It was, we won 3 points to 3 points. Nobody's going to, you don't get extra points for style or anything. So it works. It was just boring. Like the energy wasn't really there.
But kudos to them for dealing with that, finding a way to unlock and get the goal and also not getting hit on the counter, which is probably the Richmond's idea of how they were going to set up and maybe try and get something out of that match. But it looks like they kind of had the idea to come here and hopefully get out with a draw. Uglies? Besides me not being there, I know.
I don't think there's any. I don't really have any complaints. It was a solid performance. They did what they came to do, like what they should be doing, and it worked.
One thing that slightly aroused my interest, I guess, before the match started, how'd the referee do?
He made a couple weird calls. I forgot who I was talking to, and I pointed out what you told me to them because he was a little iffy.
Yeah, that was his second ever match in charge. His first ever match in charge was the Boston Breakers Sky Blue NWSL match last weekend. He's been an AR and a fourth official a couple times, but just overall seemed to be really inexperienced. But you got to start out somewhere. I was kind of surprised that a guy with that much experience, or that lack of experience, was in a top spot to begin with, but. It is what it is. I got to be honest, I followed along with the match on Twitter. It ended. We were already had left the dance and we're out at PDQ. So I was, oh, that is too cute. She's peeking out of the drawer back there in your dresser. We have to just do a whole separate ferret show. We got to do a whole separate ferret show at some point.
Yeah, we'll just start letting people come onto the video chat and they can watch the ferret behind me.
I'll throw the link out there. If you actually want to watch something entertaining while listening to us, there's the random ferret video bombs, I guess. By the time I got home, I knew what the result was. I kind of got an impression of how the game was based on the commentary on Twitter. I honestly went back and I watched just the first half. Saw the important stuff, saw the goal, saw the style of play. Who's your man of the match?
Damian Lowe or Neil Collins? Damian Lowe.
I put up the poll on the website, the slightly remodeled website. We're still doing some work on it. And I think the choices I put out there were Deshaun Brown, Damian Lowe, or someone else. Just other. Looking at the stats, looking at watching him play, at least in the first half, like Lowe had another kind of monster of a game. The guy just swallows up the attack when it gets near him. And you know, I know we've kind of been on this don't give the guy man of the match just because of he scored a goal kind of kick, but I'm going to go with Deshaun Brown. Like, that was just the moment they needed, not just from that game, but the last few weeks. That was kind of a little something, a little pick-me-up I think everyone needed after the last few games and to build a little buzz heading into the rest of the week. What was your you have a stat of the match?
You guys are going to get tired of this, but I am a massive Martin Vingard stan. 95 touches, 90 passes, 92.2% passing accuracy. He is the metronome in our midfield, and if you think he's not doing enough, you're not paying attention.
You wear that cape, good sir. You wear that cape. I'm going to go with a general team stat. Looking at the attack this week, shots inside the box, 6 compared to 3 from outside the box. So only a total of 9 shots, and that probably is speaks to how Richmond organized their defense. But shots from inside the box have been something that's been a lot less the last few games as opposed to shots from outside the box. Kind of been taking longer distance shots, trying to connect. And when you're Marcel Schaefer, you can do that. But working on the finishing, and obviously Deshaun's goal comes from inside that area. Being able to get in there with the ball and put it away when needed is a nice thing to be able to see. We haven't seen that in a little while, other than like penalties and stuff like that. So that'll be my stat of the match. Other Eastern Conference results and some USL news. Going back to last Thursday. OCB hosted St. Louis at the litter box, and it played out to a 0-0 draw. Last Saturday, Bethlehem with a second shutout win over Cincinnati this year, 1-0 over Cincinnati. Rochester 4, Charlotte 0, Pittsburgh 1, Harrisburg 0, Charleston and Ottawa drew 2-2, Louisville and Toronto drew 0-0. And the big discipline news of the week, Cincinnati's Andy Craven. Cincinnati's already hurting in the forward department with Jibby's 6-game suspension. Andy Craven gets a 4-match suspension for going at the head of a Bethlehem Steel player. This is like, what, the 4th or 5th game with a red card for Cincinnati this year already? I mean, I think almost the majority of their games. I remember when we were the we're not going to win the Good Sportsmanship Award club, but it sure seems like Cincy's kind of staked themselves to the that style of play.
But this isn't, I don't even think it's a style of play as much as it is become like just, it feels like players acting out in a way. I mean, biting and going after somebody's head, like, it's just weird. I mean, they're 5th in the league with fouls conceded, which is only 2 above us. But they, Cincy. They've only had 9 yellow cards.
How many reds?
2 below us. Let me switch over red cards. 4.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know they've had several.
League leader.
Well, you know, it must be you get in front of those big crowds like that and you just can't control yourself with the adrenaline and everything.
I mean, we could give away tickets too. But if that's what happens, let's not.
All right, moving on. And there's not really a ton. Oh, wait, one other game in progress right now. I actually have it. I'm watching it on my phone as we're doing this. Pittsburgh is hosting Toronto FC 2. Pittsburgh leads 1-0 in the 49th minute. Off a really nice goal. Long distance one from outside the box. No, not by Corey Herzog, but he is having his usual running around everywhere kind of night. Well, speaking of them, you see, Rich Balchin had surgery and he's out for like 6 months or something like that. Hip surgery.
I did hear that, which kind of sucks, for everybody involved.
And, I guess, Gali Egbuesamande has been on the bench the last few games, hasn't gotten in. I've heard some whispers that he's not 100% either. So, hope you guys feel better soon. Just, you know, maybe not the weekend that I'm up there. But honestly, the big news of the week, I'd say it even overshadows the result from the game. The long-awaited special referendum vote for the next step in MLS to St. Pete was last night. And the final result was 87% to 13% yes. Something like 25,000 in favor, 4,000, I think just under 4,000 against. And so that's, you know, roughly about 30,000 votes out of like 168,000 registered voters. I'm not surprised by the turnout for a one issue referendum like this. I keep wanting to say election, but it's not really an election.
Oh, no, it is. Bill Edwards is now the supreme overlord of St. Pete. You guys didn't read the language?
All your St. Pete are belong to us.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I was talking to one of the guys from one of the St. Louis podcasts, and they were, you know, asking questions about how the vote went, why it went so well and everything, and what actually was the vote about. So, because there are people outside of the area who listen, let's review it one more time. So, Al Lang Stadium sits on public land on the waterfront. The Rowdies don't own it. They lease it. They manage it from the city. Any lease longer than, I believe it was, 5 years has to be approved by the voters. And Edwards wants a 25-year lease plus the ability to expand the stadium within the current footprint, height, and all that kind of good stuff. So this was putting it out there to the voters whether this was going to be, whether the voters were in favor of letting him, letting the city council negotiate a 25-year lease. To operate the stadium, which would be the precursor to expanding it, which would be the precursor to getting an MLS franchise granted here. Bill's paying for everything. He paid for the election last night, $270,000+. He's paying for the expansion, estimated at $80 million. Him and his investors will be paying the MLS expansion fees privately to the tune of, you know, roughly probably $150 million. So it's got the go-ahead from the voters for the city and the club to negotiate a use agreement for the stadium. And now we just kind of wait for MLS to make their decision. If they don't choose us as one of the four or five, then this is all null and void, and then we see what happens next.
Sorry, the fairy just pulled the beer on top of her.
Oh, is it Big Storm?
No, it's Sweetwater 420.
Oh, okay.
But she likes beer.
Because, well, so, of course, it's your ferret.
Yeah, so, well, what happened, I didn't realize it, but there was a little left in the bottle of a, this is completely off topic, we'll get back, I promise, but there was a little left in a beer bottle, and she knocked it over, and it was licked it up, and now whenever she smells beer, she tries to pull it over so she can drink it, because she's an alcoholic little ferret. And I'm pretty sure beer is not good for them, but so I try to do my best to make sure it doesn't happen. But she's a stubborn one. But anyway, so this referendum, I think the numbers that are there are a good sign. I mean, we all talked about how we shouldn't get cocky right before because, you know, this, that, and the other.
Right.
But every polling showed it was up good by a large margin. I saw on Twitter to like a local polling company that said they saw it by 74% or higher, or something like maybe it was even 80% or higher. And it was just, and that was like the day of the referendum. So it wasn't really a worry. I mean, privately financed is obviously easing some things, people's minds, and But now it's, again, more hurry up and wait. We did our part. Like, the city has done their part. Voters have done their part. We still need to get more butts in the seats as a stand.
Yeah, well, Rick Baker will talk about that in just a few minutes.
We need to get people out to the games, and then just hopefully MLS doesn't make any dumb decisions, like, yeah, not including us.
And again, like, I'm not gonna sit here and talk. I'm not gonna try and, like, throw shade at any other cities or clubs bid to be one of the 12. I know that's been the tactic some of them have taken in our direction, but whatever. We're just gonna do our thing and not worry about it. But it was kind of weird to see some of the same, and these are national reporters I'm going to refer to, not by name, but some of the same guys who were, knock the St. Pete bid for attendance, for support, whatever. And they're the same ones who are championing St. Louis. Like, it's great. St. Louis got 5,000 people. And that's cool for St. Louis. I mean, that's what that stadium is built to have. I'm not knocking the fans in St. Louis at all, especially when you see the flooding conditions it seems they have to deal with, like, every few months. But... you know, what's the difference here? I don't know. That's just me. But, you know, some people we know tend to have different opinions depending on what day of the week or what hour of the day it is or which team is granting them a media credential. So I'm not really worried about it too much. I will say the margin of victory was larger than I thought. I was thinking like 70-30, 75-25, just based on some of those other polls we'd seen beforehand. And just, you know, there's people who want to vote no in any vote just because. So 87-13 is good. Like, you can complain that it was a low turnout. I think the Tampa Bay Times said it was, you know, less than 20%. But you had 25,000-something voters vote yes. It's designed to be an 18,000-seat stadium. So you've got enough yes votes to fill plus some, and that doesn't even count Tampa or Bradenton or Sarasota or Pasco or wherever else. You can also look at it as, like, 140,000 people didn't vote no?
Exactly.
So I'm good with that, too. So what are the next steps? What do we do now besides just wait?
Just get butts in seats. Go to games. I mean, that's the only thing left now, is to get people and get yourself to these games. Fill up Al Lang to show that we need to, or that the crowd is here. If every person that voted yes would go to games, we'd be great.
I will say, I think Jake is the one that tweeted out from the podcast account. There was the reporters on the scene at some of the polling locations talking to people, and there was one, like, you know, late woman in her late 60s who was like, "Oh yeah, I think it'll be a great thing." And I haven't been to a game before, but maybe I'll go when the stadium's finished. Go now. And if anyone knows Judy, I think her name was Judy. If anyone knows her, let her know. I will buy your ticket and a beer for the next game. Just put us in touch.
I mean, Drew Garabo said he probably won't go until MLS. But he was singing the Kick in the Grass song on air today.
Oh, I missed that. I left work early today.
Yeah, they talked. It was the whatever Big 3-3 has changed to. He was talking about. They talked about the referendum.
I will go
back. Seth says he wants to go.
Seth should. Seth, I'm telling you, man, Seth needs to lead the march one of these days.
Heck yeah, he does. Heck yeah, he does. We got to work on that.
I think that'd be pretty good. So yeah, that's, you know, and Rick will talk about it. We got some audio coming up in a few minutes of Rick Baker talked to Jake today a little bit earlier. We're going to put it on there. You know, one of the things Bill said when they unveiled this whole thing was that season ticket holders for 2017 would get first dibs on seats in the new stadium. I'm willing to bet they're probably still going with that if you were to buy a partial season ticket this year. But yeah, if you voted yes, like, okay, cool. And like 90% of the votes were mail-in votes. So, you know, good job mailing it in, but let's stop mailing it in when it comes to showing up on Saturdays. Come out and have a good time. Because it is. It's like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I don't want to say my age out loud, but I'm too old for one important demographic and I'm too young for another. But, you know, I'm kind of like the person you think you're going to be attracting to, becoming a soccer fan, and buying season tickets and stuff. But I've gotten hooked on it the last few years, and it's kind of, you know, and here we are on Wednesday
nights. They don't do a discount for, like, the geriatric homes?
Shut up. Someone else was making that same joke with me the other day, and I can't remember who it was because I'm old.
See? Take your medicine, eat your applesauce, enjoy Matlock. It'll be a good night.
Hey, Matlock is a damn good show. Andy what Griffith the? Is a saint. all right, so like we said, well, they had the little they had the party down there at Al Lang afterwards, the referendum watch party. It was kind of the not that the results were in doubt, but they were definitely not in doubt. About 3 minutes later, Mayor Kreisman got up and said a bit. Darden Rice, we love you, Darden, we do. Got up and said said a few words. Rick Baker got up, and Colin from Creative Loafing took. Did you see the picture he took of him?
Is that, yeah, I think you sent that to us.
Yeah, my tweet with the about to drop the hottest mixtape.
Yeah,
yeah, and you like just. I'm still cracking up at that picture all day. But he gets up and says a few words, and he talked to Jake today. So we're gonna play the audio. It's a little choppy quality wise, but you can hear the questions. He talks about the vote, the kind of next steps, what their plans are, how Bill's doing. Bill, if you hadn't heard, Bill took a brief medical leave to go have a pacemaker installed. I guess at his age and his status, this makes him Iron Man, doesn't it?
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me. Bill Edwards probably does have an Iron Man suit.
I'm kind of jealous. All right, I'm going to put the audio on. It's about 7 minutes, and we'll come back. And it's going to be a short show tonight, man. We don't have a whole lot of like, there's no point in previewing Ottawa. We played them like 2 weeks ago. We know it's going to happen. We'll make some predictions though. But here's Rick Baker, and then we'll be back and we'll finish up.
It was a great campaign. You know, it was really more of a grassroots campaign, but I would call it even more with the community. And I was surprised. I felt pretty good about where we were going. But I never dreamed we'd get 87%, to be honest. So we're very, very pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, and what do you think that kind of turnout for you guys says about either the work you put in or the strength of this bid?
The way we approached it was when we started to develop the stadium plan, we tried to approach the groups that we thought would be most impacted or interested in it. And we did that like during the time we were developing the stadium plan itself. And so they actually had input in what it should be and what it would look like and how it addresses their concerns. And then along the way, we tried to address, you know, concerns that people might have, like is it getting beyond the current site? Are we intruding on sidewalks? Are we getting too tall? Do we have the configuration right? Do we have this wide sidewalks? I don't know, all those things. And at the end of the day, it became really the community's plan. And so by the time we started actually going around to all the neighborhoods, then we went to all the neighbors, not all, but we went to 50 neighborhood associations and businesses and business groups and civic groups around the city, and we described to them what we were doing, answered their questions. So I think it's that kind of a community discussion that we had. Mm-hmm. is really the reason for it. And then I would say there's just this great growing enthusiasm for the rowdies in the city. And so I think it turned out great, and it's a great statement by the community and a great statement to MLS.
Mm-hmm. So now that the referendum has gone your way, do you have a timeline for when negotiations with the city might start?
Probably won't do the use agreement until after the expansion franchise is awarded. I believe that's everybody's intent. Bill Edwards is not in right now, so I'd have to talk to him about it. But I believe that's the way it would go. We'd go from here to the MLS award, and then we would finalize the documents for the city.
Okay. So where does the group's focus shift now that you have that big referendum win on your side? Where does the focus turn to now?
I think it's really a continued focus, mm-hmm. because we have fairly regular discussions with MLS officials about where we stand and are there any issues, are there things we need to address. So I think right now the best thing we could be doing is having a continued dialogue with MLS to make sure that we're addressing any issues or questions they have to put us in the best position we can for the franchise.
Mm-hmm. And what are maybe some of those things that you're talking with MLS about? Season ticket numbers, details of the stadium plan, what are you talking to MLS about?
I think all clarification on all the issues. Their main issues are, of course, the stadium. We continue to have discussions with them what the stadium is going to be like. They'll have specific questions about timing and how long can it take you to build it and things like that. And that's a lot of it. A lot of it has to do with the stadium because that's obviously important to them as to what the stadium. Of course, up until this point, we've been keeping them up abreast on the status of the referendum because they know that that's a critical moment in the whole project as we're pushing it forward. So it's whatever comes up that they have an interest in, that's what we're talking about.
Right. And where is the group now in the process of bringing on new investors? I know Bill told me a few months ago that he was having talks with a number of people about it. So where are you guys now in that process?
I would say he continues to do that. He's actually kind of expanded the number of people that he's talking to and that sort of thing. And those discussions obviously are also important to the overall bid. And so they continue, and I suspect they might continue on an even broader basis now that we've had so much success at the referendum.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've gotten this question a few times, but there's a lot of people out there, maybe some of them informed, some of them not so informed, saying that the MLS going into Miami and finalizing that deal with Beckham might hurt the Rowdies' chances. I mean, has Miami ever come up in any conversation you've had with MLS or anything?
None that I've had. I really don't believe it has an impact on ours. The Miami is, I think I saw one reporter wrote that it's about the same distance as Washington, D.C. to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that decision impacts our decision. And Orlando has been brought up more often, but Commissioner Garber has made it very clear that he doesn't see that as an impediment, and in actuality, he sees that as a positive thing because of the rivalry we could be building between St. Petersburg and Orlando along the I-4 corridor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you talked to Bill at all since the referendum results came in? How's he doing, first of all, and is there a timetable for him to return to the team?
Timetable to return to the team, I don't think Bill ever really leaves. he may not be in the locker room, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't really leave. In terms of when he's up and about, I don't think it's going to be very long. I don't really have a specific amount of time for it. I did chat with him last night. He was very excited about the referendum, and he asked me to reach out and thank everybody involved for the awesome effort. I think that everybody is very pleased at the enormity of the victory.
Mm-hmm. So now that you have that referendum win, what is the message to the fans, and what maybe do you think the fans can do to keep the momentum going for this bid?
The best thing the fans can do is come to the games. You mm-hmm. know, come to the games and you can still buy partial season tickets for the rest of the season. So people just need to keep coming to the games and filling up the stadium, because the more enthusiasm we have, the of course that continues to help us as we're going forward.
So thank you, Mr. Baker. Well, I got to say, when Jake said, "I'm sure you get this question a lot," I thought I was going to ask him if he's running again for mayor.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the Bill doesn't ever actually leave. It's like he's haunting Al Lang and everywhere else in St. Pete.
I kind of pictured where if he's home, he's doing like the Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, where he's got like a computer monitor attached to like a Segway that just kind of rolls around, and it's got a webcam so he can see and hear everything.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. So while I'm listening to that, it reminded me of something. I was talking to a friend of mine and he was saying what he thought that they should have done, and maybe it's a thing they could still do if it's a worthwhile thing. Yes, getting fans in the seats and an important thing, selling season tickets and all that. What if they were to take just as a way of taking the temperature of the area, maybe $50 deposits on MLS season tickets?
I think it's too early. You can't do that yet.
But just as a show of here's how many people would be interested. We've collected this much money, this many commitments to buy season tickets. I think someone's done that in the past. I can't remember. I thought it was kind of an interesting take on the situation.
Yeah, I don't think we're ready for that yet. It would be interesting to see who would. I mean, I would throw $50, maybe $100, take a couple season tickets for it. But I don't know. I don't know how well that would go over just yet.
Because it seems like now this is the kind of moment where the eyes of all the local media are on this, print and TV. You mentioned I didn't get to hear it today on the show, but it's getting airplay on some of the top radio stations around here, some of the highest ratings, afternoon shows and things like that. Like we said, we're in that point now where we've done this, and now it's up to you kind of have to wait for MLS to make a decision. This seems like the kind of, let's not sit back and soak our feet in 87-13, but try and fine-tune things on and off the field. And I have something else I'm going to mention in a minute about that. But, like, it's just, keep working on refining the whole organization, I think.
There's definitely things that need to be looked at from an organizational standpoint off the field and on the field. On the field is always going to be a process. I would like to think that, like, any off the field things, like, I don't know where you're going to go if you're going on field or off field.
There's one thing, and we've had people approach us in person and online and stuff like that with some of the issues with the ticketing and the ticket holder, like, gifts. And I'm one of those guys where I got my packet of season tickets and I didn't get any of I didn't get anything else, and I didn't really think anything about it at first, because sometimes they'll do, come to customer service and pick up your season ticket holder thing or whatever. Then I start seeing people posting stuff online, like it's it was like a free midweek night at the Hard Rock, and I think it was like another free restaurant trip to one of the restaurants or something, and then a voucher, like a coupon basically for the Hard Rock store over there. It's one of those things where it's another season. I'm on my, I think second, maybe third ticket rep this season already, trying to get that sorted out. And I finally, got a chance to email the guy last week and, heard back from him, and just, blamed it on a miscommunication. And I haven't had a chance to go to the other side yet to get both sides of the story. So I don't want to throw everything out there until I have, given everybody involved the chance to say their piece. But whatever the miscommunication is, like, I don't know.
I never even got a phone call. I got an email that said, hey, we've been trying to reach you. I should also let it be known my phone number hasn't changed in about 8 years. So I never got a phone call. He kept saying that he tried to call, but the number said it wasn't in service, which... I don't know. I don't know.
And look, we say this stuff out of love, because everything we do about this club is from a position of love, but there's obviously some places where improvements, can and really should be made.
I mean, maybe, despite even just the season ticket holder issues, attendance just feels a little off this past week, the week before. Is it a ticket office issue? Are they not? Because advertising's up. I see the ads everywhere, all over St. Pete, on the internet. I mean, advertising's fine.
Yeah, and I'm seeing they're actually doing, get a 3-pack of tickets for this, and do, they're starting to kind of vary the promotions a little bit, which I think is a good idea. Give people lots of different options for getting to the stadium. But yeah, something, something's not clicking just yet. Now, maybe the buzz around this spurs it on. Because one thing, and I have no hard numbers of this, it's all just anecdotal, but every time something else happens in this whole MLS to St. Pete kind of journey, the names that I see popping up in our mentions who are liking and retweeting and following and stuff, like I see a ton of new names every time. So the interest is obviously out there, and we've got to find – there's got to be some way to kind of capitalize on who could be interested, who could be and what can we do to get the last, 2,000 people in the stadium on a regular basis.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, isn't it? Like, everything else seems in place, advertising, like I said. But so is it a ticket office thing? Are they not contacting people? Are they not reaching out to get people to return to games? I mean, I tweeted it out early, in the offseason. I got a phone call from the New York Cosmos ticket office when I went to it, because I went to one game in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And they used to, and the Rowdies used to do it. I mean, I got season tickets because Brittany kept harassing me.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the best way possible. I bought like a couple tickets and so she kept calling. She was great. Conversation, why don't you have them? Well, I can offer you this deal. And I said, you know what? Screw it. Just give them to me.
Yeah, I had season tickets. Like the first year I went, I got tickets kind of individually on game by game basis up in at Steinbrenner, and then I bought season tickets the next year, and then that was the year that won the championship, and then that was the year I believe the economy started to fall apart. They started cutting back teachers' salaries and things like that. Things went hectic down here, so I didn't get tickets that year, but I did like game by game ones, and I think it was the next year. Talking about Brittany, she actually found me on Twitter based on something in my bio. And said, "Hey, I see you identify yourself as part of this group. How can we get this group out to the stadium?" And I was like, "All right, well, let's see what we can do." And I've had season tickets. I think pretty much every year since then.
Yeah, that group. Even all the way up to through Joanna was good. Chris, Alex, Brittany. I'm forgetting people, but that they were on top of it. It just feels Jared. Obviously, I can't forget Jared.
Who?
Yeah, you might fall down again. It just was a completely different world, and I felt like, and if you look when that group was in place, and we had the advertising and everything, attendance under Edwards kept jumping. 25% or something like that, ridiculous. Like after the renovations at the stadium, like the little makeover. And then it was a smaller increase last year, and now it's a bit of a dip, which is weird. I just don't know where does the blame fall or what's going on. And I just figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any inside scoop on what goes on inside the offices, but it just, like you said, something just feels kind of off. I will say, though, I think they've done a better job this year of, I don't know whether it's finding different people or leaning on the ones who have bought the midfield tickets to show up, which is a point of contention I had last year. And it seems, it's one of those where a lot of people aren't in their seats by kickoff. But as the game goes on, those sections seem to be a little bit more well-populated than last season.
Yeah, we talked about that a little this weekend too, about how I don't know if it's an anomaly, if it's a thing everywhere else, or if it's a Tampa Bay Rowdies anomaly that it's not people at the gate, there's not a trouble getting in to the stadium or anything, but nobody is in their seats till 10-15 minutes into the game, and right. It's bizarre.
I was thinking about that a couple games ago, and I almost wonder if it's part of the fact, still playing in a stadium that's laid out, at least on the outside of the field, as a baseball stadium kind of thing, where it's typical to walk the concourse and, as opposed to when you go into a soccer stadium and everything's kind of designed on getting you, if you're getting food, getting drinks, and then getting into your seats as fast as possible. There's not a ton of other things keeping you, you away from your seats, but you've got this whole concourse area, which is nice, and lots of options for food and drinks and stuff. But I think it becomes kind of a hangout spot for some people. And you've got those nice TVs there, so if you're waiting in line for a cold, frosty glass of kick in the grass, then you don't miss the action. Like, I got to see a goal that I missed. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a streamline in the way that the stadium is laid out or something. I don't know.
It's weird. It was just something that popped up, and I just want answers. I want to know why, like, this is happening.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got an away game this weekend and then a home game next weekend, so there's lots of time to try and throw some stuff out there and see what you can do. But, yeah, start working these phones. You've got 28,000 people that voted for this. Let's find them. Someone get Judy to the game, please.
Yeah, like, that's it. You know, obviously the people are paying attention, so no, somebody's not doing their job.
All right, so enough about that. Little update. Pittsburgh, Toronto's in the 80th minute now. It's still 1-0. I don't see this ending any differently. We saw Toronto before. So coming up this weekend, we make our first trip to Ottawa, who is playing tonight in the Canadian Championship versus Edmonton. Remember them. So nice for them to have a little midweek match to keep their minds off of us for a little bit. I didn't want to do the full rundown like we did before about Ottawa, because we've played them recently. Predictions: do we get a win on the road outside the U.S. This week?
Sorry, I was taking notes here. My theory is no. I'm going to say it's going to be a very boring 0-0 draw, as history has shown us happens in Ottawa. Something about that trip sucks the life out of this team. And
they need more.
I want to win. No, I'm glad the audio cut out, but I know exactly what you're saying. You're such a jerk. But I'm going to call it a 0-0 draw or a 0-0 draw, so Ryan Sudol doesn't have a heart attack.
Nah, just say no, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to go draw too, but I'm going to say 1-1. I think we get a goal from Darwin Jones this week.
Excuse me, I'm dying over here.
Whew. Apparently allergic to Darwin Jones.
Yeah, apparently.
All right, so this weekend, if you I don't know how many people who just voted yesterday are tuning into us for the first time. I guess it's possible, but if you are looking for a place to go watch the game, go down to. They're at or is it still Engine Rose with watch parties, right, for the Mob?
Yes, and I think the official Rowdies one is at $5.
Yeah.
But then, the Mob one's at Engine Rose.
Right, and then the new, I'll throw them a little bit of publicity since I'm tangentially involved in it. The Sarasota supporters group, the Skyway Casuals, will be watching at Shamrock Pub in on Ringling Boulevard in Sarasota. So if you're south of the Skyway, come on over. I won't be at that watch party either. It's second game in a row. I'm going to miss seeing as it happened. I'm going to be camping this weekend with my daughter's Girl Scout troop. But I will catch up on it afterwards. Speaking of the Skyway Casuals, did you see the other tweet I sent out? I retweeted it. Like,
I don't think so.
MLS head honcho Don Garber owns a home in Sarasota. And I'm not going to say who this person is, but I will say that they would have access to property listings. A MLS to St. Pete magnet was deposited on his mailbox yesterday to celebrate the vote.
All right.
So good job, Mr. Person who did that, who shall remain nameless and employed. No, honestly, it wasn't me. I was at work all day. I have an alibi. And we were doing like state testing. Like, I couldn't even have my phone on all day, so I didn't even get to see it till the afternoon. Anything else?
Referendum game, Ottawa sucks. I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's go out and prove us both wrong and get a win this weekend over hashtag Why So Furious. We'll wrap it up. Are we love yous? Everyone who voted, You know, even those who voted against it, because at least they got out there and expressed their opinion.
Even if it's bad and wrong.
You've got time to change it, come to a game anyway, and possibly enjoy it. I want to say we love you to Mayor Kreisman for the work that him and the city council have done to get it to this point. We love you to Rick Baker. We've seen numerous reports of the legwork he's done going to these neighborhood associations, which I think that was the key to sealing this. The bars and restaurants up and down Central Avenue around downtown St. Pete are always going to enjoy having a sports team playing nearby on a regular basis. But to get the neighborhood associations on board went a big way, I think, to greasing the wheels on this one and making it go as easy as it did. I want to shout out to a person on Twitter, their handle is at Quail Republic, Sacramento Republic fan, who shipped me 2 6-packs of Sacramento IPAs. So I know you'll want to try them. One of them's a really I didn't notice this at first until I got the box, but it's kind of a grapefruit heavy one, and I'm not a big grapefruit guy, so I'm going to try it, but I'm going to save some for you. Some for Derek Sharp and some others as well. Everyone who went out to the shindig last night, I wish I could have made it, but I couldn't. I meant to. I really wanted to be there, but it was an insane day at work. Did I even tell you the whole story yesterday?
I don't think so.
There was an accident right in front of the school that I work at. There's a courier service that runs between all the schools delivering packages and papers and stuff. The guy that runs that was rear-ended by someone who had to be helicoptered out to the hospital. And it took me an hour and a half to drive the last 2 miles to work.
Dang.
Yeah, and then it was state testing day, so I didn't even get to go up to my classroom. I just had to go in, pick up all my testing materials, and then go deal with a bunch of kids who, some kids were honestly having panic attacks because everything was starting late and they were late getting to school. So it was a fun day, to be sure. So that'll be it. We'll be back next week right here on Radio St. Pete to talk about the Rowdies result and whatever else news comes up. Shout out to our patrons who are sustaining us on a monthly basis on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/theunusedsubspod if you would like to become one of them. Get some perks like hearing audio from interviews. I didn't put the Rick Baker one out there because I wanted to keep that one kind of that was kind of a big deal one for us to get. So I kept that one off for right now. But usually anytime we interview a player or someone else, we put it out there first. You can go on our website if you would like to support us in other ways. There's an ad up at the top now for Fubo. You can click and subscribe to that. We get a little kickback from that. It helps us pay the bills and everything. Whatever you're listening to us on, if you're not listening to us live, but you're getting this from Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, ratings and reviews, especially 5-star ones, and then you can lie and talk about how great this was, are helpful as well. Thanks, as always, to our buddies at Wolfface for the kick-ass theme music, our friends at Radio St. Pete for letting us do this on their station, our good friends at the Shamrock for what they've done for us and hosting the watch parties, our new good buddies at Big Storm. We got to get in touch with those guys. We need to talk to them.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I miss them.
We need to redo that show sometime. Well, when summer vacation, I'm about a month away from summer vacation, so I'll have a lot more free time. I'll come up there and we'll do a show up there with them or something sometime.
Sounds good.
And other than that, I believe we're done. So have a good week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. And until then, we love you.
Me too.
The Rodgers were there, the Rodgers were there, they came to